Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. Let me just pause right here. I always like to do this at this point in our service and just welcome those that are joining us each and every week online. We're so glad to have you from different areas in our country, sometimes even around the world. We're so glad you're with us today. Come on, yeah, let's make them feel at home. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, does anybody know what today is? It's Sunday. Yes, it's day 22. We've been in a 21-day time of fast. Well, some are fasting, some are just feasting. But anyway, we're praying. I know that. I know we got people praying. In the beginning of the year, we actually do our prayer and fasting for 21 days. August, we say you can pray and feast if you want to, but we just want to make sure that we are praying as we are coming from the summer season into the fall season, and we believe that that's prepared best by way of prayer. Many of you have joined online to our live services each day of those 21 days. And I just want to just highlight that that is not a conclusion, 21 days. We hope that just whets your appetite and that you begin to develop a lifestyle of just going after God and putting Him first. We believe that prayer should be your first response, not your last resort, right? So we believe that prayer really works in connecting to God, and I would encourage you with that. God's been doing amazing things as we go to Him. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer you." That's a good thing. Isn't it great when you know that God will answer you? And He said, "I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know." And so God just does amazing things beyond our expectations, what we can imagine. The Bible says that it's beyond what we could even imagine, the things that He has planned for us. And so I'm believing for great things as we've just soaked everything with prayer as we go into the fall season. And really excited about the opportunities that are before us. I've said this kind of in the last few weeks. I want to just highlight it again. Harvest time is fall. Fall season is a time of harvest. It's not only true in the natural, it's true in the spiritual. Don't really know exactly why that is, but it always seems to be true. More people seem to come to Christ in this time of year. So we have opportunities. We actually have something in our lobby. It's called Acts of Kindness cards, and you're welcome to pick up some of those and use those. And it really is just something extra to show you that God loves you. And it's just a card, and you do a random act of kindness, and you give them that card. Always connect kindness to God, right? And even to the church, where they can connect with other people and have their faith strengthened. And I just want to just remind you that this is the season, this is the time, and we're going to see amazing things happening. Let me also mention, before we jump into today's message, and that is that even today there's going to be a wonderful opportunity for the college students. Any college students in the house? I always heard college students had passion, but anyhow, no. But love, my heart, guys. You're my heart. Love college students, UNC Charlotte, Central Piedmont. We've got some Central Piedmont Community College students here as well. And we're going to be having something special tonight at 5 o'clock, okay? Did that get your attention? Okay. How about pizza? We're going to have pizza. Does that get your attention? I've heard that, you know, music and food, that works pretty good. But we're going to have a gathering tonight at 5 o'clock of our college students, and Josh Wenton is going to be helping us head that off. We're actually going to be developing, it's going to be, in essence, a small group as part of our small group semester, but it's going to be even more than that. And we're going to talk to you about that tonight. I hope that you'll be here tonight at 5 o'clock. We're going to have a lot of fun, just have some discussion. We're going to look at what that's going to look like for the semester. And I believe God's going to use it in a powerful way. We're also talking about a weekly meeting, a weekly gathering of our college students here at Crosspoint, and also perhaps even a monthly gathering of several other campus ministries where we come together and pray. We're actually working on an event now. I'll let you know about this more next week, of an event that we can gather together and have a time of praying and worshiping as we launch this semester. In light of the tragedy that happened last semester, we want to make sure this semester is bathed with prayer. I mean, I hate to say it, folks, there's already been some shootings in our area at the beginning of this semester already. Don't you know there's a devil that's loose, but there's a God that's greater. Amen, everybody? And so we're going to call God. God's going to do amazing things. And so just want to be sure and let you know about that. We had a wonderful opportunity last week. We went over and served ice cream to the Pride of Niner Nation marching band, and it was awesome. Yeah, saxophone player right there. And it's just great, the opportunities that we have, and just want to make sure you're aware of those, take advantage of those. Come on, let's jump right into today's message. Beginning in a couple of weeks, we're going to begin a new series. Next week is going to be a standalone also. It's kind of a two-part. Today is about vision. Next week is going to be about our values. So these are very two important messages. If you want to know kind of what we are all about here at Cross Points, I encourage you to come back next week. And then in a couple of weeks, we'll be launching a new series. We'll tell you more about that. And then when we do that, we're going to have what we call our message notes, where you have the fill in the blank. So today you've got a blank sheet of paper, and that's there in your worship guide. You can pull that out if you like and take a bunch of notes with me, but just kind of a blank sheet that you can work off of. I want to begin, as we talk about vision, from a scripture that's found in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18 that says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Another translation of that, the NIV, says, "Where there is no revelation, people cast off all restraint." So, you know, when we don't really know where we're going, we don't know what the goal is, we just kind of go crazy. We kind of lose our purpose in where we're going. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. The message puts it this way. I like this. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. So it's very important for us as a church to understand what the vision of this church is. And I just want to point out, we always need to make sure we know that it's God's vision, not a man's vision, what God's vision for our life is, because our vision is very short-sighted, but God always has the greater vision. He has the higher perspective, and he knows what's best for our life. One thing that I do recognize, and we'll talk about this as I unpack this message, and that is that when we talk about God's vision is always connected to the harvest. Let me put it to you another way. God's vision is always connected to people. His heartbeat is you. His heartbeat is people. And so if you want to know if your vision is on track with God's vision, check and see if it's connected to people and making a difference in people's lives. And so so it's very important to know really what we're doing as a church and why we're doing what we're doing. And so with that in mind, let me give you this scripture that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. "Let there be real harmony among you so that there won't be any splits in the church." So we need to be all on the same page. And even Paul goes on to say, "I plead with you to be of one mind, united in thought and purpose." So with that in mind, I want to unpack this message as we talk about vision. And in a nutshell, we'll hear this a lot around here at Cross Point. We want to focus on four things. It's in your worship guide, and it's going to be everywhere you look around and in conversations in Cross Point. First thing we want people to do, and that is we want people to know God. So our vision is that people know God. And I said it earlier, not just know about Him, but know Him and having a relationship with Him. And as you know God, really what that's really talking about is how that really happens is you encounter the cross. Our name, the name of our church, is Cross Point. Our goal is to point people to the cross, because it's at the cross where Jesus laid everything down for us, paid the ultimate price for us so that we could experience life, pay for our sins so we wouldn't have to. The great exchange, where we traded our filthy rags for His robe of righteousness, happened at the cross. And that happens through Jesus. It's nothing that we do. It's not by our works or our doing or us getting it together and then coming to Him. It's no, we come to Him as He is. And by His gracious, wonderful, amazing grace, He forgives us, He cleanses us, He covers us. In fact, He doesn't just cover our sins. The Bible tells us He removes our sins far from us so they exist no more. So it's just awesome. And so it happens at the cross. So if you look at the word know God and encounter the cross, it really, the picture of that, if you want a picture for each one of these four things we talk about around here, the picture would be the cross. The next thing that we focus on is that once you've encountered the cross, we want you to find freedom. Find freedom. And that means that there's times that we need to get freed from the past so that we can have a tomorrow. You can't have a tomorrow until you settle yesterday. And so we believe that people need to experience freedom. And the first step, knowing God, is all God. But the second step, actually, God has a process for you finding freedom. It involves people. The Bible says, "Pray for one another that you may be healed." There's some things that we need healing of our past. And God's system for doing that is people. It's amazing how God uses people to bring healing into our lives. Ultimately, we know God heals, but He uses people in that process. And in that process, we experience change. And so we don't want to just, listen, I've always said, God doesn't just come to save you in your sins. He comes to save you from your sins, everybody. Come on, he's come to give you deliverance. He's come to free you up from the past. It may be a habit, maybe addiction, maybe something that haunts you from the past that you're bound to. God's come to that you may experience the change. And I believe the picture for that is the empty tomb, the empty tomb. So you think about when Jesus, there was a time where Jesus had a friend by the name of Lazarus, and he had died, was dead 4 days. Y'all might know the story, and Jesus raised him from the dead, and that was all Jesus. Nobody could do that. But then he said, take the grave clothes off of him, and he allowed people to be in the part of that process. And so there's some things that may be still attached to us, and God uses us in that process. So the picture, if you want a picture for that, would be the empty tomb. The third thing that we do around here is we want people to discover purpose. So now that we know God, now that we have found freedom, and my past told me I was one thing, but now I've found freedom from that. Now, who am I? Help me discover that. And so we want people to discover their purpose. Two great times in your life. One is when you're born. Second is when you figure out why. Right? And so we want people to discover their purpose. We believe that happens by God putting a calling on our life. What has he called us to be? What has he called us to do? Who am I in him? And so we want people to, what we call, embrace the call. We want people to embrace that call that God has on their life. And we'll help you with that process. I'll show you how in just a moment. If you want a picture of that, I believe the picture of that is the empty tomb. The empty tomb. Excuse me, I said empty tomb, didn't I? The upper room, sounds a lot. The upper room, okay? So the upper room is where God birthed the church. There were gifts that were poured out on the church. It was called the Day of Pentecost. But God gave gifts to people to be able to carry out this great commission that he called us to do. And so that happened in the upper room. We'll talk about that. And then the fourth thing is that we want people to make a difference. So now that I know God, I've found freedom, I'm discovering my purpose. Come on, now that I know why I'm here and what I'm supposed to do, I want to get on a team with other people and make a difference. And we call that engaging the culture. So listen, we don't just follow the culture. We set the culture, right? We're to be salt and we're to be light in this world. And we're to be culture changers. Amen. We're to be world changers because there's something different in us than that's in the world, right? And so we want to engage the culture. And I believe the picture of that, just write this down, is the street. The street. And what do I mean by that? On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, God gave them gifts, but then they spilled out on the street where 3,000 people came to know Jesus. And so we believe that this works for where you work. It works in your home. It works in your neighborhood. It works on your campus. And we are to go into those places and make a difference. So those four things, to put it in street language, to make it simple, we want people to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. I want to show you kind of some theology this morning of where we kind of get this from. And actually, you see these four things throughout Scripture. You'll see it in the Old Testament. You'll see it in the New Testament. You'll see it in the Great Commission, when the last words that Jesus said before he left this earth really included these four things. His ministry was about these four things. And so really, when we think about it, if it is about these four things that we see throughout Scripture, then why don't we do everything we do as a church about these four things? You know, we could do a lot of noble things and a lot of things that seem to be right and make you feel good, but really, what has God called us to do? And so let's focus on those four things. Let me give you a scripture. It's found in Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And this is where God had used Moses to bring the children of Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt. We know the story. You know the Ten Commandments. You see it around Easter time every year, right? The movie. And so, but God gives a word to Moses to say to the children of Israel what he's going to do in their life. And I want you to look at it with me. He says this. He says, therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgment. And he says, I will take you as my people. I will be your God. And then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Now, let me just explain this a little bit to you. In Jewish culture, even to this day, Jews observe what they call the Passover. It's remembering the time when God brought them out of Egypt, and they observe Passover. In that Passover experience, they actually observe four cups. In fact, when Jesus was having his what we call the Lord's Supper with his disciples, the cup is referred to more than once. One time he said, "I will not partake of this cup." I'll talk to you about that in just a moment. So there was actually more than one cup. Now, we actually observe communion, and we use one cup, and it represents the blood of Christ. And we have a juice in there that represents his blood, and then we have the bread, which represents his body. But in the Jewish culture, even to this day, they observe four cups. Now, these four cups actually come from this scripture that God gave Moses to say to them. And there are four I wills. If you notice, God kept saying, "I will, I will, I will." There are four I wills that they take the four cups from. And I want to break those down to you, how they relate not only to the Jewish culture, but also to us in our setting, okay? Number one, first of all, God said, "I will bring you out." Now, the Jewish culture, they call that the cup of sanctification. Now, that's kind of a theological term, but what that simply means is to be separate, to be set apart. And so it was saying that God said, "I just got to set you apart. I've got to get you out of Egypt." For us, we would call that, in our terminology, we would call it for us today, the cup of salvation. And so I just got to get you out of there. That's what Jesus did on the cross for us. He got us out of where we were. So he's saying, "I'm not asking anything of you. I'm not asking for church attendance. I'm not asking for you to clean yourself up. I'm not asking you for you to look good or smell good. I just got to get you out of this." This is all Jesus is doing. Like God sent Moses, and he was a type and shadow of Christ, who sent him to Egypt to get him out. That's what Christ did for us. That's what Moses represented. So he said, "I've got to get you out." And so this translates to know God. He says, "I want you to be in relationship with me. I want you to know me. I want you to know me as your Savior. I am your Savior. I'm calling you out from that." And then the second cup that they observed is the cup of, and let me just give you the scripture first, where God said, "I will free you from being slaves." And you said, "Now, wait a minute, I thought you just freed me. You just got me out of Egypt. Isn't that freeing me?" Well, you know the phrase, you can get the boy out of the country, but you can't always get the country out of the boy, right? So they were in Egypt, and they were slaves for 400 years. There was a slave mentality that was engraved within them. And God got them out of Egypt, but now they're out of Egypt, and they have the mentality, they have the identity that I am a slave. But they were not slaves. And God had to help them and realize that he came to free them from that slave mentality. So they call that the cup of deliverance. I think we could call it the same thing. It's the cup of deliverance. We use the terminology, find freedom. Find freedom. So I'm saved. God has saved me. It's all his doing, but there's still some things remaining that I've got to get freed of. It's the cup of deliverance or finding freedom. A third thing that God said in that, he said, "I will redeem you. I'll redeem you." This one's easy. They call it the cup of redemption. So I was in Egypt. God got me out of Egypt. He's freeing me from, right, that slave mentality. But now I'm free from that. I'm not a slave, but who am I? It's called the cup of redemption. Redeeming something is when you redeem it for what its original worth was, what its true value is. So when God created you, he had a purpose in mind. He had a purpose in mind for your life. You're not an accident, no matter what your parents told you. You're not an accident. Come on, can we get a little laughter in the church? I'm not getting any feedback here. Okay, you didn't just show up and God said, "Well, they're here, what am I going to do with them?" You know? No, God had a purpose preordained for you before you were ever born. He had a plan for your life. He knew you were coming, right? He knew you were coming, and you came for a purpose. God has a purpose for your life. And so we call that discovering purpose. Let me give you a fourth one in this theology that I'm kind of laying out for you this morning. He goes on to say, "I will take you as my own people." Interesting, the first three are all singular. It's about us. But then this one, it's actually in the context of people. "I will take you as my own people." Now, in the Jewish culture, they call this the cup of fulfillment. Fulfillment. It's also called the cup of praise or the cup of celebration or even the cup of hallel. It's where we get the word hallelujah. You hear that in church? What does that mean? Hallelujah. If the first part of that is just about being it's hilarious. It's a cup of laughter. It's a cup of celebration. And so, and interestingly about this one, and this is the one where Jesus, we believe, most scholars believe that Jesus, this is the one that he said, I will not partake of this until I'm with you in heaven. Now, today, the Jews do not observe, practicing Jews do not observe this cup, or they do not, they observe it, but they do not partake of it because they believe it represents the Messiah who is yet to come. Now, we as Christians, we believe he has come, we would partake of that, right? But it is this cup that's called the cup of fulfillment that Jesus said, I will not partake of this until I'm with you in heaven. Now, this is the amazing thing that always gets me. What Jesus was saying there is, I'm not fulfilled until you're with me. I'm not fulfilled until we're in right relationship. I'm not fulfilled until, in fact, he says, he's really saying, I'm not fulfilled until you're with me in heaven. I said this a couple of weeks ago. Listen, that we're considered the bride and he's the groom, and there's going to be a marriage happen in heaven. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. We're not going to be just floating around on clouds and getting fat and growing wings and playing a harp. We're going to have a wedding. We're going to have a feast. We're going to have the meatballs with the toothpicks. Come on, it's going to be awesome, right? And Jesus is saying, I'm not going to be happy. You know how it is when a couple can't wait for the wedding day to get there? That's Jesus. He's saying, I can't wait until you get with me in heaven and you are my fulfillment. That's just awesome. These four things we see throughout Scripture, what we call this one, is make a difference. So now that I'm out of Egypt, I'm finding freedom, I'm discovering my purpose, how can I then be fulfilled? How can I do what God's called me to do? You get on a team with other people that God's called to do that same kind of thing, and you go together and you make a difference for the kingdom of God for eternity. And we see this later. In fact, he says, then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I would say then and only then. It's only then when you discover your purpose and you're really doing what God's called you to do that you're really fulfilled. Until then, you're just kind of treading water. But when you begin to make a difference in somebody else's life, that's when life is fun. That's when it's fulfilling. Come on, everybody. That's when everything begins to change. Come on. Sociologists has even told us that. Where are my college students? Where are my college students? Maslow's hierarchy of human needs. Anybody study that, right? What is the pinnacle of it? It's called transcendence. It's when your life, you know, you have the basic needs of food and water and shelter and all those things, and you want things to look beauty, and you got this need for aesthetics and the house to look good and the bushes outside the house to look good and all these things. But the highest of fulfillment and satisfaction that we have is when we are making a difference in somebody else's life. Well, God said that how many thousands of years ago? And he says it still today. It's still his desire. And let me give it to you in another place just to point it out to you. Just lay this out for you. Paul's prayer for the church of Ephesus, he said this. My prayer for you is this. It's found in Ephesians chapter 1. He says, I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So he says, you need to see this. There's something that you need to see. You need your eyes open so you can see this. And then it says, so that you may know him better. Everything starts there in knowing him. And then I pray that the eyes of your heart, and so he didn't just say your eyes, the eyes of your heart, our heart. There's a filter sometimes out of our heart that we can't see things. He said, I want your heart to be open so that you can see this. Because that's where our heart is, where we hold things in, where things are polluted, where things are cloudy, where we don't see things clearly. But he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that, here's the connection, that you may know the hope to which he has called you. So sometimes we can't see that because we're blinded by yesterday. And it goes on to say, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people so that we can live in fullness of life as God has called us to live. So we see really a spiritual progression. Again, we see this throughout Scripture. I want to read it to you kind of to make it a little more plain in the Message version. I love Message. The Message version teaches you how to make Rice Krispie treats. Y'all know that. I mean, it's just practical. That's a Tim Hawkins joke. Y'all get that later. Okay. So in the Message, it says, I asked the God of my master, Jesus Christ, look at this, the glory of God, to make you intelligent and discerning and knowing him personally. He wants you to know him. Go on to verse 18. Your eyes focused and clear. So I'm clearing up from yesterday, right? So that you may see exactly what is that my purpose that he's calling you to do? And grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for you, right? In making a difference. He wants our life to change. Let me kind of use that one, if you would allow me to, and just break that down for just a moment. I love what 1 John 2 and 3 says. It says, we know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commandments. So important. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Let me break this down for you for just a minute. Let's start with know God, okay? Know God. Write that one down again if you haven't already. Know God. In the Message version there of this scripture, it says, that you may know Him personally. That you may know Him personally. That word know is the word gnosko in the Greek. So what it's saying there is, it actually means intimate. That you may have an intimate relationship with Him. There's nothing more wonderful. I remember when I went off to college first time, and I just, knowing that I was not alone. College can be a scary place. Come on. My son, I got one that's graduated from UNC Charlotte and one that's starting as a freshman this year. And you go in as a freshman, you know, I don't know anybody, but you know what? You do know somebody. You're not alone. Somebody's with you. You can have a relationship with God and know Him intimately. And I believe that's so important. I just got to pause right there. I got to slow up pace here for just a moment. I got to pause right there and make sure we get this one, because everything else works off of this one. We got to know God. We got to have a personal relationship with Him, to know Him personally. Why is that so important? Let me give you this scripture. It's found in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said this. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, and this is scary, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And the people who did that kind of stuff is church people, right? But look what he goes on to say in verse 23. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. I never, gnosko, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So what Jesus is saying is, it's not enough just to go to church. It's not enough just to fill a role. It's not enough just to get a job and fill the... No, it's more to life than that. There's this place in knowing Him. And He said, if you miss that, you've missed it all. What God is really after, He's not after your church attendance. He's not after your money. He's not after you doing a bunch of things and performing for Him. He's actually after you. He really wants you. Anybody get that? Isn't that beautiful? God really just wants to have a relationship with us. And let me then give you the scripture I gave to you a little early. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3 says, we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. So in knowing Him, it's not just I know about Him, but I know Him now that I'm in relationship and I'm walking with Him. Let me put it to you this way. I'm not only walking with Him, I'm following Him. Wherever He goes, I go. We're attached. We're a team. Come on, whatever God says to do, I'm doing that. I'm walking in the way He wants me to walk. I'm following Him. So let me give you, if the four things that we do are, if these four things are so important to God, and they are, and we need to be about them, let me just kind of break down how we serve these four cups, okay? How we serve these four cups. And if you go through the growth track, you can get some of this again, but this is good stuff. First of all, we serve the first cup, the cup of knowing God, in our Sunday service. So, this Sunday, in each and every Sunday, we're going to talk about different topics. We'll cover all kinds of things. We'll cover finances. We'll cover health. We're going to cover it. But the primary goal of this service is that you know God, that we create an atmosphere in which you can experience Him and come to know Him. It's all about knowing God. It's all about creating a place where you know you can come back and you can invite your friends and they can come to know Jesus in a personal way. Amen? And so in every service, no matter what we talk about, yeah, that's good. That's worth applauding for. In every service, we're going to give the opportunity, and we'll do it today, for people to come to Christ. So you can know what the service looks like, that when you invite a friend, we're not going to embarrass you or do something crazy and scare your friend off. We're actually going to treat them with honor and respect, and we're going to do everything we can to give the gospel in a simple way, put the cookies on the bottom shelf where everybody can reach them, right? And come on and present the gospel and give them an opportunity to come to Christ. So the primary purpose of Sunday morning is that people come to know Christ. And there's an action step with that when that happens, because it's not just knowing who He is, but it's then beginning to follow Him. And a first step in following Him is what we call water baptism. So an action step there would be water baptism. And we have that opportunity the second Sunday of every month. We don't do it every second Sunday, but we have that opportunity if people want to be water baptized every second Sunday of the month. Let me give you break the second one down. Find freedom. Again, going back to what... to to the scripture that Paul shared in his prayer. His prayer was that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So, finding freedom, understanding. You ever seen somebody who comes to Christ and they're like, oh my goodness, I never saw this before. I never realized what happened. Their eyes are being opened. They're beginning to see. They're beginning to see that they can be free of these things. Our heart is a filter that needs to be cleared. Oftentimes there's issues in our heart that needs to be resolved. Proverbs 24 and 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So there's things that we need to deal with in our heart that we need to get rid of. Let me tell you how we observe this one and how we serve this one. We do this through small groups. And so, guess what the action step on that one is? Get in a small group. Because we believe that real life change happens in the context of a relationship. We're not just a church with small groups, we're a church of small groups. You need to be able to get close to somebody. I had somebody actually, we were doing parking here for the students. For some of you that are students, we have parking that we make available. We register students, and we had one come in this week. And the person came in, and I just tried to give them a little invite as they were leaving. And the person left and came back in and said, I was just wondering, do y'all have like any classes, like theology classes? And so I began to break down what we do with small groups, and we began to share some things about what we do as a church. And I began to explain we want people to get into relationship. And he was asking about, you know, kind of theology and all. And I said, well, here's the secret. And that is that for us, we may have some curriculum-based groups, but really it's not about the curriculum. Now, information is good, and we need knowledge, and I get that. But oftentimes, we have so much information, but our life's not changing. And so we believe that real change happens, again, in the context of relationships. So for us, curriculum is just an excuse, right? Okay, curriculum. Now, I'm not demeaning curriculum, but what I'm trying to say is all of it. Even Jesus said, you know the scriptures, right? You search the scriptures, but they testify of me. What Jesus said in the scripture, all the knowledge, all the finding out and all the studying, all of it is to point to a relationship with him, right? And so God wants to have a relationship. And many times the relationship begins through somebody else, right? Because you're the one that helps connect them to God. And people don't care what you know until they know that you care. So it's about us getting in relationship with one another, caring for one another, meeting each other's needs. Come on, caring about somebody. And I explained to him, I said, look, it's not about getting in the middle of a circle and telling all your business. Okay, that's not our small groups. Our small groups are so that you can get close to somebody that perhaps you can find somebody in that group that you can go up to them and say, hey, can I tell you something that I have told nobody else? And the mask come off and the heart begins to open and they pour into you and you pour into them. Come on, that's beautiful, y'all. That's what small groups are all about. And so we serve that through small groups. Let me give you the third one, discover purpose. Go back to discover purpose. Paul, again, he said, that you may know the hope to which he has called you. He's called each and every one of us. And Romans 12 and 6 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. That word grace in the Greek is charis, which it's a grace gift. It means that I was made for this, that some people don't see chairs misaligned. Other people see it and they got to fix it. They have a gift for it. They have an eye for it. You know, it's like an architect, like my son, the architect. He's got an eye for certain visual things. There may be things that, you know, some people have a gift for children. Some people don't have a gift for children. Some people, you put them in the children, you're gonna find your kids duct taped to the wall. Just telling you right now. So but everybody has a different calling. Some people it's to sing. Some people it's to be behind a camera. Some people, come on. But there's different callings for different people. But God has a special calling for your life that he's called you to, and we want to help you discover that. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 says, God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. And here's how we serve this cup, right? The first cup, know God, is what? Our worship experience. Our second cup, find freedom, is small groups. Our third cup, come on, our third cup of discover purpose is the growth track. The growth track. And you heard a little bit about that from my son on the growth track. It rolls every month and it rolls every week. So we have a four part to it. First Sunday, second Sunday, third Sunday, fourth Sunday. It happens right after service, just about an hour. and it's awesome. We're going to just share some things and help you with that. We take you through a personality gift, and step three, we take you through a personality gift assessment and just several different things that we take you through and help you kind of connect the dots. And it's amazing when you come out of that, kind of you say, oh yeah, okay, I get my purpose. And it points to what God's purpose for your life is. And that God is greatly used. So the action step there, obviously, is attend the growth track. Get into a growth track. There's only four. Come on, it's not that hard. Week 1, 2, 3, 4. And you don't have to start in week 1. You can start anywhere. Just be sure and get all four of those in. Get on the growth track. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1 says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I would not want you to be ignorant. So what the Word of God is saying here is that, hey, you need to discover your purpose. And here's the sad truth, and that 85% of Christians don't know what their gift is. That's a tragedy. And maybe that's why perhaps the church isn't fulfilling its purpose like we should, because 85% of Christians don't know what their gift is. Let me give you number four very quickly, and that is to make a difference. Make a difference, okay? And so Paul, breaking that prayer down again, Paul goes on to say, that you may experience the riches of his glorious inheritance that he has for you in the saints, in the saints. And so what I've discovered as a pastor is that you can't always solve people's problems. If you solve one problem, another problem is going to pop up. Everybody's got issues. You solve one issue, and there's another issue. And by the way, if you say you got no issues, that's your issue. So I'm just saying. But when you discover your purpose and you get on a team making a difference, sometimes you just need something bigger than your issues. And Jesus is pointing this way where we can make a difference with our life and serve something bigger than ourselves. Get on a team. Come on, making a difference. John 15 and verse 8 and also verse 11 says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And so how do we do that? How do we make a difference? We call it the dream team. And the action step to that would be obviously join the dream team. How do you join the dream team? By going through the growth track, and on the other side of the growth track is the dream team. We don't consider you finishing the growth track until you've really got on a team and you're serving and you are making a difference. Get on the dream team. My son shared a moment ago how we don't call it volunteers, because volunteers are saying, I really don't like to do that, but I'll do that if you want me to. Well, we don't use the word volunteer. We call it the dream team, because we want to help you through the growth track, discover your purpose, what has God always called you to do, and then we let you do that. So you say, I get to do that? Oh, I love doing that. That's my thing. Yeah, I love doing that. Can I do that? Yeah. So then it's a get to instead of a got to. Instead of I gotta take care of the kids today. No, I get to, right? So actually we as a church, we're no longer a need-based church. We're a gift-based church. So we don't say, well, we need somebody to serve in the parking lot. We need somebody to take care of kids. We need somebody to, you know. No, this is a gift-based church. We want to help you discover what your gift is and let you do that. And so you are going to tell us what the church looks like. By looking at you and what God has placed in your life, God tells us what we're supposed to do because he sent you and the gifts within you. So it's what you've always dreamt of, right? So it's a dream team. Dream team. So we're not talking about basketball. We're talking about, right, the kingdom of God. The dream team, okay? The dream team. And so all of us need a process as we go through this process of how to be healed. Now look at this. It's all these four things. We see it in the life of Jesus, right? He came to save people, come on, from their sins. He came to set the captives free from their bondage, right? He came to give them a purpose, to equip them. He told them when he left, he said, teach them to observe the things I've taught you. And then go and make disciples. Go out, make a difference. It's in everything that we see. It's what we do. And so as a church, that's what we're all about. And we're all about finding God's lost kids. That's what it all computes to. That's what it all ends up being about, is finding God's lost kids. I heard a story of a pastor, a wonderful story I love to share. I always share this in the growth track when I'm teaching that. And I don't teach all four sessions. You don't have to get me the whole time. Okay, there's other people that help with that. But in the growth track, I share the story of a pastor who had a son. He had five kids, and the fifth one was autistic. And the family was out in a public place, and they were trying to find, where they need to go next. And the next thing I know, they looked up, and Joseph, the youngest, the one that was autistic, Joseph was missing. And panic sets in, because they said his nature would be that if he needed to go this way, he would go the opposite way and keep going. And so the whole family began to search for him. And we got to find Joseph. And he said, you know, if I had any one of my four kids come up to me in that moment and say, well, Dad, listen, I got this little problem. Can you help me with this problem right now? Don't worry about Joseph. He said, you get out of my way. You either help me find Joseph or get out of my way. We've got to find Joseph right now. That's what's most urgent right now. The story goes that he went up to a police officer and he said, if you got a radio, you can help find my son. And he was kind of laid back. Yeah, well, where's the last place you saw him? And he wanted to grab the police officer in that moment and say, you don't understand. My son is missing. I got to find my son. And the story goes on that as they searched and they finally found Joseph, he was up in the woods by a creek away from where the this restaurant was. And they found him, and the father said that when he found him, he'll never forget what he looked like when he saw him. And he said his eyes were just darting back and forth, just tears streaming down his face. And he said, I'll never forget when our eyes first met. So we use that story to say, help us find Joseph. Help us find Joseph. And we have this gravitational pull where we say, well, what about me? What about me? Let me tell you something. When you take care of God's business, he'll take care of your business. When you attend to the things that matters to God and you go out and you're finding his lost kids, everything else is going to fall into place, right? So listen, help us find Joseph. And can I just say this to someone here today? Perhaps you're Joseph. And if you're here today and you're Joseph, you're that one that's missing. You're that one that's not in relationship with God. Maybe you were at one time, but you're not where you should be today. I just want to encourage you. God's after you. The Bible says he'll leave the 99 and go after the one. Right, everybody? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? God, thank you for your word today. Thank you for this message that you have given this church of what you have called us to do. Help us that we may help people to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. Jesus, you said you've come to reconcile us to the Father. You've come to put us back in right relationship with the Father. And you have paid everything, your whole life, that we could be reconciled to you. I pray today, oh God, for those of us that are here that may not be in right relationship, I pray today will be the day. God, will just allow you to come in, restore that relationship, be first in our life. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to take the opportunity to lead you in a prayer. If you're here today and you haven't done that first thing, you just don't know God. Maybe you do, but again, it's not that intimate relationship that God really wants, where really everything flows out of. I want to lead you in a prayer today. And as your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to share with you one more scripture. Just receive this. 2 Corinthians 5. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, and the old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. That's really the message of this church. It's the message of reconciliation. I have good news for someone today, and that is that you don't have to pay for your sins because they've been paid for. God's not mad at you. In fact, he's just waiting for the chance where you let him come in and forgive you. He wants to forgive you. He desires to cover you and to free you from whatever that may be holding you back in bondage and keeping you out of that relationship with him. So here's what I want to do. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to lead you in a prayer. And if you're watching online, I want to give you the opportunity as well to join with us in praying this prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up or come to the front or embarrass you. We don't do that. I'm just going to ask you, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, If you want to be counted in this prayer, and I'm just going to help you with the words, and you just pray it right where you are, would you just slip up a hand and you can just put it right back down? If that's you, say, that's me today, Pastor. Would you count me in? Would you count me in? Yes, yes, good job. Anyone else? Yes, yes. Yes, awesome, good job. I see you again. Awesome. So proud of you. Anyone else? Say, count me in. That's me. I need to, maybe you just need to make sure. Maybe you're coming back. Yes, good job. Okay, here's what we'd like to do. Let's do it this way. I want to have everybody just pray this out loud, just so that people can have the privacy to pray it out loud that needs to pray this, okay? So let's pray this together. If you're watching online, just stop whatever you're doing and just pray with us if you would. And listen, all you got to do is mean it. I'm just helping you with the words. It's up to you just to pray it in faith. Just pray it from your heart. Can I just help you? Pray something like this. Come on, everybody. Just say, today, God, I thank you for sending your son for me to pay for my sins so I won't have to. God, I invite you today, come into my heart. I turn from my way to your way, from my will to your will. I ask you to come inside and make me brand new. Come on, put it this way. Say, I give you my heart. Come on, put it this way. I give you my life. I put you first in my life now, Lord. And I just say it the Bible way. I declare you as the Lord of my life and the Savior of my life. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, I thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer, invited you to come in, surrender their life to you. Now, God, I just celebrate the best decision of their life. Lord, I thank you, God, that day by day, if we follow you, God, Lord, that you're going to help them day by day. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that they're going to grow in you and help them, Lord, just to take their next step and get involved and follow you fully and enjoy life as you always meant it to be, God. Oh, I thank you today. I celebrate with them along with the angels in heaven, God. I celebrate with them. Now, Lord, help us as a church, God, that we may continue to point people to the cross, that they may know you, they may find freedom, they may discover their purpose, and together we'll make a difference for all eternity. God, and we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.